darkness, lost in their sin, and they don't even know the danger they're in.
We who are called to their glorious fight must shine like a beacon of love in the night. We will carry the torch. We will lift high the flame. We will march through the darkness in the light of His name until the glory of God is seen by the world. We will carry the torch of the Lord.
There's no need for failure. There's no need for fear. For the Lord goes before us to make our paths clear.
Glorious flame, let the glorious fight, let it shine out through you and shine in the night. We will carry the torch,
we will lift high the flame, we will march through the darkness in the light of His name until the glory of God. By the world, we will carry the torch of the Lord.
The torch is our Savior, the hope for all men. And as we lift Him up, He will draw men to Him.
To Him we will carry the torch. We will lift high the flame. We will march through the darkness in the light of His name until the glory of God is seen by the world. We will carry the torch of the Lord. We will carry the torch. We will lift high the flame. We will march through the darkness in the light of His name until the glory of God is seen by the world. We will carry the torch. We will carry the torch. We will carry the torch of the Lord.
Let's all stand together this morning. Thank you for that, fellas. Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to look at two portions. We'll read Proverbs chapter 30 first, and then we'll get on to that. A couple of things before we get started. Of course, we had a great fellowship. We've been having the different classes at our house on Fridays. We had a great fellowship with Brother Ross's class on Friday. Of course, after they left, a lot of our stuff was missing. So that's our fault. We didn't turn on the metal detector. That's our bad. But I think we don't have anybody this Friday, and then after that, I forget whose it is. I think it might be Brother Pineda's class in July. I want to mention something, just so you understand. We've been building that building for several years now, and what we're doing is, it's been called planned neglect. Everything is in that new building. Everything, all our resources, all our work. Now, for me, that's a frustration. When I there's certain parts of the building I don't even want to walk through. It's not that it's bad. It's just that the outside of the, a couple of things we're trying to at least do in this building just before youth conference, just so you know, it looks a little sloppy out here. We're going to repaint the building on the outside. It made me sick to my stomach, just to be real honest with you. But again, we understood that we're not putting any energy into this building. Everything is for that building, but got a couple guys helping out. We're going to get this done in a week or so. And then I think I found a creative way to be able for us to put new carpet in the hallways. That's another thing that just I don't like. I walk and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But again, so when you see things, we're going to be painting and so forth. The staff will be painting the next couple weeks to get ready for youth conference. But I just want you to understand, we're not neglecting this building to be bad stewards. And it's not bad. There's things I'd like to do. It's just that everything right now is to get that building done over there. And so we're just trying to be frugal with our resources, but we are going to get the outside of the building painted and change the carpet in the hallway. And then as long as I stay on the carpet in the hallway and everything, it'll be great. And so pray with us about that. Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to talk about how to be wise and strong. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24. Says this, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Now flip back to Proverbs chapter 6, please. Proverbs chapter 6, we'll read three verses there, we'll pray, and we'll let you be seated. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. It says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this morning. We're thankful for a great group of folks that would take time on Sunday morning because of their love for you to be at church. We pray, Lord, as we look at your word this morning, that would you help us to understand the truths that we are going to look out, especially, Lord, as we're in this season of summer, where if we're not careful, it's very easy to get caught up in some things and maybe back off of our relationship, not fulfill some responsibilities. So pray, Lord, that you just encourage us through your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, we're going to talk about being wise and strong. In our society, or just the world in which we live, those concepts are a little bit confused. We think because some guy is big with muscles, he's strong. Kind of like me. That's not strength, that's muscles, okay? I don't know why you're laughing, that hurts really bad. We think somebody that has a high position of authority, or has a high IQ, we automatically assume that they're wise. There's a little phrase in the book of Job I like. I think I'm ringing just a touch here, if you can help me back there, thanks. Job chapter 32 and verse 9, the first part of verse says this, great men are not always wise. You see, in our society, we love heroes. We like to lift people up because they can dunk a basketball. Look, just because LeBron James, and I'm not a LeBron James guy, okay, but man, he did really well. Just because he was a great player doesn't mean he can tell me how I ought to live my life or give his views on what he thinks are right in our society, okay? And we give people that kind of, you know, how often are we let down? You know, oh, I like that guy. He seems to be a good guy. And then it's like, oh, you know, he got arrested because he was out at 3 in the morning. By the way, nothing good happens at 3 in the morning, okay? That's the time you ought to be sleeping. But we give these people this position and they're strong and they're this and all that. Well, God's view is a little bit different. Not that you can't, you know, be in good shape and have a good IQ and still be strong and wise like me. Good, you didn't laugh this time. That's what I was looking for. Sit up straight. Put your hands on your laps. Lap. No talking. Thank you. God's definitions are not always man. God looks at things differently. We know the story. When God told Samuel to go look at Jesse's sons, that the king was there. He brought all of his sons, and the first one was like, he was a sharp-looking guy. I mean, he looked like, you know, one of those guys. It just seemed like he had it together, and David's like, oh, yeah, this is the guy. But he was wrong. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, how big he is, or how handsome he was, or how smart he looked, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now, by the way, before I know someone's going to throw this out and say, see, as a Christian, it doesn't matter what you are on the outside as long as you're good on the inside. Don't tell me that you have the right inside and a bad outside. That doesn't work. All God is saying is, here is, man, most of the time, we just make a snap judgment based on what someone looks like on the outside when God says, don't be fooled for that. I know what's in their heart. And Eliab looked like he was the guy, and God's like, no, 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 that's not the guy right there. And so we do that sometimes, and God says, no, my way of seeing things is different. Here in the verses we read, God uses something small, something weak, insignificant allegedly, and uses it as an example of wisdom and strength. Now in the first verses, he mentioned four different groups. He mentioned the conies for their preservation, the locusts because of the way they presented themselves in formation, the spiders because of their preservation, and the ants for their preparation. But I don't want to look at all of them today. I want to look at one. That's why we went to Proverbs chapter 6, the ant. I want us to look at the ant today. The ant, strong and wise, that is how we would define it if we look at it God's way. Strength and wisdom is not measured the way that we measure it. If you look physically speaking, who was the strongest man in Scripture? Anybody know? Samson. By the way, I love that you read the book of Judges. It's very confusing because they all did their own thing. But every single judge that God raised up, they would raise him up. He would get some guys behind him. They would go fight. They would go win. Not Samson. Samson was a one-man wrecking crew. No one followed him. He didn't have an army. He just kind of handled it by himself. God gave him some kind of supernatural strength. But you know who I would say is the weakest man in the Bible? Samson. He was done in by women. I'm not saying it's the women's fault, okay? I'm not saying that. It was his weakness towards women that caused him to pick the wrong ones and to be immoral and do the wrong things, and that brought him down. So here's this big, physical, strong guy that no one in their right mind would mess with, and yet he took himself down because he was really weak on the inside. But the ants weren't like that. If we are going to be strong and wise, defined by God's way, I think we can learn some things from the ants. How did the ants exhibit strength and wisdom despite their small, weak exterior? By the way, they're pesty too, aren't they? Isn't it about this time of year that they find their way in? It's like no matter what you do, and you could kill a whole line of them, and they're back in an hour, okay? Yeah, they get reinforcements. But how can we exhibit strength and wisdom by learning from them? Let me give you several points. First of all, there must be a self-realization of our weakness. It's said in the verse, the ants are a people not strong. They're not. Compared to the rest of this world, they're down at the bottom. Okay? They're not small. They're not strong. You know, we see an ant, there's no intimidation. They're an irritation. They're not intimidation. They're not intimidating. They are weak. They know they have limitations. And the other things we mention are things they do to overcome their diminutive size and their limitations. But they first have to do all that because they are weak. By the way, let me say this. All of us are weak. If you are a Christian that is seeking to live right and live the way God wants us to do and make it, spiritually speaking, in this world, can't do it on our own. See, you know, the American way is, me macho man, me make it, don't need help. That doesn't work. Okay, I'm a self-made man. You're going to be a mess. The way to make it is to realize that you have weaknesses. Let me read some verses from Romans. These verses, I get it. I identify with these verses. This is Paul. For we know, it's Romans chapter 7, verse 14, if you want to look at it later. It says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, fleshly, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now listen, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that what I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Every time I read that, I'm like, I feel it. What do you feel when I feel frustration. You're driving down the road and it's like, people are cutting you off. People are being bad to you the way they're driving. And it's like, I'm going to be a good Christian. But then you're not. I'm not going to let them cut in front of me. Or maybe you cut in front of them and it's like they're on your tail. And I'm not saying I ever do this. And they're tailgating. It's like, brother, get off my tail. So you just let off the gas and go a little slower. I don't do that, but John was telling me that's what he does all the time. Or, you know, someone, they cut in front of you, so what do? You get over there and you cut back in front of them. I don't do those things anymore. But my wife does. Just kidding. But we all struggle. You see, we have that desire to do right, but on the flip side, there's that sin that wants to do wrong. And it's a constant struggle. But those that don't realize that they have a weakness don't put safeguards into place to make sure that their weakness doesn't take over. You know, I don't need that. Don't treat me like a baby. Look, at our house, we have a computer. It's right. Many of you have been to my house now, but you walk in, it's the big U shape where that's their family room. It's all together. You can see anything. It's only half a wall that separates our living room from our family room, from our dining room to the kitchen. It's all just right there. And that's where our computer is. We don't want kids having a computer in their room. Why? Yeah. Make no provision. Look, it's kind of hard, especially in our house. There's always people there. You know, five of us, and my wife is seven of us. I have married kids. Grandkids are over all the time. There's always people in our house. You can't, there's always someone there. If it's in the open, you're not getting away with anything. Oh, my wife doesn't trust me. Neither do I. Why? For I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. You see, we think realizing we have weakness makes us weak. I contend that realizing you have a weakness makes you strong. Strength is understanding you have a weakness and putting safeguards in place so the weakness doesn't take over. Yep, that's why I would never drive in a car with a lady of the opposite sex. It's not my wife or family member. Oh, you know, it's just some of us from work, we're going out for lunch. That doesn't make any sense. By the way, let me say this. If I found out my wife was driving in a car with a couple of guys, there would be issues. I would not be happy. Okay, that's not going over very well. I'm just saying, we need to look at our life. Listen, that's not weakness to say, I'm not going to allow myself to get involved in this. I'm going to take precautions. I'm going to be careful. Should I'll lose the whole group right now. Should I? Okay, I don't think your kids ought to have cell phones. Children I'm talking about. Our family, they don't get them until they're out of high school. Why? My little Oswald doesn't need 24-hour access to a bunch of stuff. Okay, we'll go back to here. Let's see. And by the way, I love my kids. I think they're good kids. Most of them. But you know what? I think back on it, and I was an unsaved teenager, and I was not a good kid. You know the story. I didn't even make it out of high school. I'm glad we didn't have the access to some of the things we had when I was a kid, or else I may have really been worse. And so we need to be very careful. All I'm saying is, let's look at our life and say, listen, if this is not something I want to get involved with, how can I be careful? That's strength. It's not weakness. I got off. Everything in our society now is outward based, right? I was reading a book one time, and a guy was talking. When he was in college, he did a study for a paper he had to write for his college class. He did a study on leadership. He compared leadership teaching from over 100 years ago to the leadership teaching of today. He read many of today's books, and he read a bunch of books from those that talked about it 100 years ago. And he said the difference was glaring. It was very easy. Today's books are all about results. Did you get the sale? Doesn't matter if you were deceitful. How to talk people into something. How to do this, how to do that. He said the books from 100 years ago were all about what kind of person are you? Do you have inward character? Do you work hard? Do you persevere? See, that's not popular anymore. We've been taught to let the kids run the show but I'm just saying, let's be very careful. By the way, let me say this summer, be very careful. You know, anybody that's serious about God and at one point and has gotten away from God, they didn't plan on doing that. They didn't plan on it. What happens is things creep into our lives. And we all fight it, by the way. That's why we put safeguards in place in our family. We come to every service, okay? You know the guy that says, you know, when I was a kid, I was on drugs. My parents drugged me to church Sunday morning. They drugged me to church Sunday night. They drugged me to church Thursday night, okay? That's just a safeguard for us. Well, you know, if I know this, if I don't miss once, I'll never miss all of them. When we're on vacation, we go to church, and I've mentioned that type of stuff. There's things we just do. We're going to be very careful. We're not going to allow things to creep in because why? Does that mean we're bad people? We could be. I have a flesh that's bad, you know. Thank you, Raul. We'll get you after the service. That would be such an easy comeback. I'm not even going to take it. Okay? That's number two. I want you to see they had a commitment to their responsibilities. Yet they prepare their meat, it said. In other words, there was a certain time of the year that they could work. That was their time. And when they were supposed to be working, they did it. They were focused on doing what they were supposed to be doing when they were supposed to be doing it. The Bible word for that I like is a word called faithfulness. I like faithfulness. How many of you have ever been a boss somewhere? A boss where you were in charge of people. Hire, fire. You could hire them. You could fire them. They work for you. You know, I do that here now, but I did it before in the world. I like people that showed up. I had some people that would work for you, and they were dynamite when they were there. But I don't care if you're dynamite if you're only there 3 out of 5 days. I'd rather have someone that plugs along. One place I worked, I had a retired couple. He was an old Baptist pastor, and he was there when I got there. Him and his wife. They were older. They didn't run around, you know. But they were always there. Did their job. I don't have to worry about them. Faithfulness. We live in a time where people are very irresponsible. You know, our little Oswald gets mad at something. You let him quit. Don't let him quit. Okay, follow through. So, well, my son's on this team and he doesn't like the coach. He's quitting. Can I just tell you something? You're teaching that little boy or girl that when they get a job and they don't like their boss, bail out. How many of you have ever had a boss you don't like? Please, none of the church staff members raise your hand right now. But Jim, you dug that hole pretty deep, but you filled it in pretty fast too. By the way, you're not getting a raise either way. So it's responsibility, faithfulness. I like Lamentations. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Aren't you glad God's faithful? Man, aren't you glad God's just right there? Whatever the Bible says about him, he doesn't change. It's right there. It's spot on. I love the faithfulness of God. Proverbs says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. You want to talk to somebody? Talk to them about themselves. Now, I'm not saying you ask questions. Where are you from? I mean, you know, some people, they love to tell you everything they've ever done. And they embellish. In fact, the older they get, the better they were. That type of thing. But you know what the Bible says? It's hard to find someone that's just faithful. Just sticks it out. Just does what they're supposed to do. Our studies I've read have said that the average core church member, someone that gets in the church, their average time they stay in a church is 7 years. Let's just be faithful. Well, we have people that have been in our church for many, many years, serving and just doing this, but just faithfulness, taking responsibilities. Whenever we talk about stewardship, we quote 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in service that a man be found faithful. How are you with your responsibilities? I know some guys, and I've met, 100 different jobs. It's like, I just can't find that right one, or my boss was mean to me. Sometimes we just need to stick it out. Okay? Responsibility. Next, we see a seizing of the opportunity. When did they gather? The Bible says they gathered in the summer. The summer afforded the ant the opportunity that colder months wouldn't. Really, for their survival, they needed to store up during the summer to get through those winter months. You know the story, what is it, of the ant and the grasshopper? The grasshopper plays all summer, the ant does their job, and in the winter, what happens? In the winter, the ants are in the house, and they got all the food, and they're partying, and the grasshopper's out starving to death. But they did, they took advantage of that opportunity that summer affords them. They didn't waste their time and regret it later. Now, this is more church that I'm going to get into here. But as a church, we've always tried to seize opportunity of summer. Summer's a good time. Now, summer can be hard on families because children aren't in school, schedules change, you take vacations and so forth. But summer is a good time when we ought to. And by the way, I think as a family, you ought to do some things. I think you ought to have vacation time. I know some people don't like it. It's almost sometimes in Christian circles like vacations are wrong. Well, then don't take them. I am. In fact, give me yours. I'm too busy with my work. I can't. You need to go on vacation and have a good time and go out with your family. Say, well, I don't need it. Well, your family, believe it or not, dads, and this is hard to fathom, your family, and I can't get it either, they actually want to be with you. Kids actually want to be around you. Take a vacation this summer. By the way, have some type of family night. And maybe it gets a little busy and some random night where you do something with your family. Okay? You need that. By the way, you need a date night with your wife. Okay, not somebody else. Honey, I'm going out tonight. Pastor said we should have date night, and I'm having date night. Okay? I don't have date night. My wife doesn't approve anybody I want to go out with. But date night, you ought to have those things. But you know what? We do things in the summer to kind of help just keep our focus right, to keep us in line, keep us where we're supposed to be doing. That's why we have our summer saturation. By the way, thank you for coming. It was a great night. Now, we had so many people out here, and I hope if you came for the first time, you saw that, hey, it's not craziness. We're not tackling people as they run down the street and forcing a Bible in their throat. Okay, we go out, we invite people to church and so forth. You've never done it. I encourage you to be here Tuesday night at 7. We have our family nights to encourage us to be faithful to church on Sunday nights and our Thursday night for to flourish. Your class is having activities. We're having we have the church picnic this week and the volleyball picnic tournament and all that. But I'm just saying, take advantage of the summer. Do things with your family if your schedule's a little bit looser. But make sure you stay faithful in the things you're supposed to be doing. Our youth conference, as I mentioned, a lot of churches will have what they have, like a revival service Monday to Wednesday. Because of the busyness around here, Pastor really wasn't big on that. We don't really do that. Our revival is the youth conference. We have a lot of the teenagers will be in here from our church and other churches, and a lot of the adults will be outside. I used to sit out there with adults, and it was good. And I encourage you to be a part of that. But a seizing of an opportunity. Number four, there's a mastering of self-discipline. It says here about the ant, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler. Think about that. No one was in charge. They were all disciplined enough to be a part of the group and just do what needed to be done. No arguing. No fighting. Now, humans, we're not like that. We have leadership things and stuff, but the thing is still true. Self-discipline. By the way, if a person is not the Christian they're supposed to be, Can I just say this? It is not the church's fault. It's not God's fault. That's our fault. We did a whole series a while ago on being connected to Christ, and the phrase I tried to get in our minds, we are as good a Christian as we choose to be. Choose to be. If we don't get in our Bibles, it's not because we're too busy. You know, and it just, it hits us. It flies at us. And people say, you know, I'll do it if I have time. No one ever has time. You with me? I mean, you get up and just stuff starts hitting you. You don't find the time to do the things you're supposed to do. You make the time. You schedule it. If you're going to have a date night, you know how you have date night? You say, this is our night. We're going out. Then if one of you doesn't feel like it, look, I'll go home sometimes, and our schedule a little bit even scattered this summer. But, you know, if we have a date night, it's like, if I don't want to go, she'll remember it's date night, you know. What does date night mean? No cooking this week. We get to go out, okay? Well, you know, or if she doesn't want to go out and I want to go out, hey, we're going. It's scheduled. But we don't want to be disciplined. We are so fly by night in everything we do. Just kind of, well, you know, hey, whatever. But the things we're supposed to do, we need to make sure we do those things. They had no guide. They had no overseer. They had no ruler. But yet, they all worked together because they knew it was coming, and they got the job done. Discipline. Discipline. Do you do the things you're supposed to do? You say, I struggle with it. Here's what you do. Put a time to do it. Say, man, I really want to read my Bible. I know the church, we encourage people to do it every year. How do I do that? Each day. What time are you going to do it each day? Don't let anything interfere with that. Okay? Self-discipline. Being disciplined. And then the last thing is this. They had a mindset for the future. Provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. Now, we mentioned about the opportunity, but what does that mean? What they did right now was all for the future. They thought ahead. You know, most of us don't think ahead. Most of us can't think past lunch, right? It's like you get to work, it's like lunchtime. Okay, but and that's fine for your job. But what you got to think about the future. Every decision you make should not be made based only on right now. You ought to filter it through, how does this affect the future? How does this affect my family? How does this affect my children? How is this going to affect me years down the road? We don't think like that. Some of us make bad financial decisions. That's why they're called salesmen, right? You just stop to look at that car. You didn't plan on buying it. It was just a 2015 this, and it's like, hey, I want to stop by and see what that looks like. And you stepped on the plow, say, that's pretty. And a guy comes up, hey, how you doing? Can I help you? Well, those are lovely children. And you don't even think your children are lovely. I'll tell you what, yeah, what would it take for me to get you in this car? Next thing you know, you drove off with a car and said, I liked it, but what happened? You got blindsided. Okay? And now you're paying for it for the what? Future. Someone comes, hey, I want to borrow money from you. First of all, if you want to have a problem with that person, lend it to them. I personally don't lend money to someone unless I'm willing just to give it to them. Don't ask me. The answer is no. Yeah, so it's, hey, I need $50 by two. You know, that's fine. I'll give it to you, but it's, you know, whatever. Why? Because if they don't pay me back, I don't want to be mad at them. Okay? If they pay me back, it's like, hey, wow, that was a blessing. But I'd rather have that friendship. But we don't think about the future in every area of our life. We make bad financial decisions. We make bad moral decisions. We get loose and we start texting someone we shouldn't text. We start being flirtatious with somebody at work you shouldn't be flirtatious with. Oh, I'm just talking, you know, I'm just being a friend. I didn't plan on anything. Where could that lead in the future? Because when a person gets caught up in something like that, you're not just affecting yourself. You affect your spouse. You affect your children. If you have grandchildren, you affect your grandchildren. But I didn't mean. I know. But you weren't thinking about the future. We make bad marriage decisions about our marriages. We make bad spiritual decisions. Don't live for the moment. You go through the Bible and think about living for the moment. King David lived for the moment, didn't he? Should have been out to war. He's in his room in the middle of the day just walking around, not doing anything. And he looks out, there's Bathsheba, and it's like, whoa. And I'm sure you know it's innocent. Hey, who's she? And one of his servants said, go check, who's she? And then he had her come up. By the way, it had devastating consequences in his family. Devastating. All because of a moment of time. Because we don't think about the future. You see, the ants aren't a big people. The ants, they're not imposing. They're not intimidating. They don't seem, you know, they probably don't know computer science. But in God's eyes, he used them as an example of being strong and wise. Why? Because of the things they did, not because of the size. We making some mistakes this morning? We have a wrong mindset? Maybe we're just not being careful. Maybe, you know, we think bad things are things that happen to other people. You could talk to anybody who's ruined their life, and if they're honest with you, they're going to tell you, said, I didn't think it'd get this far. I didn't think it'd get to this point. They didn't realize they had a weakness. They lacked self-discipline. They didn't think about the future.